It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello, and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Gemma Kaneko. We were gone a whole week. We missed you a lot. Dakota actually got carried away by a balloon float from the Thanksgiving Day Parade. It was the baseball one. He got so excited he grabbed it, and now he's probably in outer space with the baseball. So that's where he is. He's actually on jury duty. That's what he's doing. So,
fulfilling his civic duty.
That voice you heard is Michael Clare, formerly our L.A. correspondent, one of two, who's now East Coast Michael Clare.
That's right. Dakota had reduced me to junior L.A. bureau chief, so had to flee and come for the East. And Dakota conveniently had jury duty the day I showed up, which he knew I was going to fight him at the flagpole at 3, so he chickened out and didn't show up.
Well, you deposed him from the podcast, much as he deposed you from senior L.A. correspondent. And joining us from the Southwest, Jessica Kleinschmidt. Hi, Jess.
Hey, yeah, the West is only big enough for Garo and I now, so.
I see what it is. It's a fight. Yeah. It's a war of attrition. Only one of you can really remain. It's like Highlander out there. Well, today we have so much to talk about because we've been gone. We missed you. We missed you for a whole week, so we're going to talk about Aaron Judge's potential mayoral chances. Very exciting. Some best friends in baseball and all of the off-season weddings that you have probably been seeing on all of your favorite players' social media. They all look really, really cool. And once again, our invitations got lost in the mail. So rude. But yeah. Since we didn't really get a chance to do it before, I would like for us all to say what baseball thing we are thankful for right now in this holiday season of talking about cool stuff we like.
I think that's very. I think that's the smart thing to do at this time of year. Is, you know, it's a season of giving. Yes, this is Wednesday, so yesterday was Giving Tuesday, so this is Thankful Wednesday. You know, time of reflection as we, you know, approach the end of all days. That's what you refer to New Year's Eve as, end of all days.
Yeah, everyone. Yep, the end of all days. Here we are. It's Existential Dread, the podcast. Your co-host, Michael Clare. Well, since you're here in studio, why don't you start?
All right. So what I'm most thankful for, and, you know, I thought about, you know, players, Brad Miller's stirrups or Joey Votto's carefully tapered pants. But I decided I was going to go with Baseball Savant's StatCast search. This is my favorite thing because this is, you know, when you want to find something really specific, and this sounds like an ad for a product on our site, and I'm saying this because I truly love this. Like, if you want to know, like, left-handed pitchers that threw the highest percentage of sliders low and away in two strike counts, you can do that with the StatCast search. If you want to know how many baseballs were hit to Adam Duvall in left field that accounted for outs in 2017, you can do that. Like, any of the really weird stuff you want to do. And then you can even just mark, show me plays with video. If you're like, oh, I want to know, but I only want, like, cool things to look at. That's, like, that is what the internet promised us, right? Like, whatever information we wanted at our fingertips. And for me, that's all I've ever wanted is, oh my God, all right, I want to know on a 2-2 count what player throws the highest. And if you think I'm going to give you answers on this, I'm not, because I didn't actually run these searches.
This is a scavenger hunt, actually. You all listeners need to do these searches and report back to Claire.
And then you get no prize, but the greatest prize of all you do get, which is knowledge. So just enjoy that. So, like, that is what I'm most thankful for, that, like, this exists. Because as, like, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 30-year-old balding man, that's me now. Those are all the things I wanted, and now we have them.
Well, what's the weirdest thing you have looked up? Have you used it for anything?
Oh, I've used it a lot. Okay. Earlier today, I did look up. I didn't write this down, but I did look up baseball's hit to Adam Duvall in left field that resulted in outs. I also looked up Dinelson Lamette. Apologies if it's Dinelson, the sort of breakout pitcher for the Padres. He has an amazing slider, and so today I was like, I want to see pitches that batters swung and missed on his slider, and I just went there and put it, and it's a gorgeous slider. It was just do it. Just do those two searches. Adam Duvall is a much better defender than I think people give him credit for. And Lamette, beyond being, he should be traded to the Mets because of his name. But I think his slider is just so pretty. And I think because he plays in San Diego and, you know, they weren't great this year, I think that's someone that a lot of people slept on, even if you were someone that knew about the triples hitting pitcher in San Diego, whose name is completely escaping me, if any of you remember. He had four triples this year. If you knew that, you still might have missed Lamet and his breakout. So he's my breakout pick for 2018, which is not the question, but I now think of that because of Baseball Savant, which is what I'm thankful for.
I like this because we talked about in our last episode what it is that you do to keep yourself entertained in the off season when there's no baseball to watch. And the idea of getting to go and kind of make yourself a playlist of the strange things that only you care about is just incredible. I'm going to do this now.
I didn't even think about the idea of making your own personal baseball mixtape.
I love that.
Yeah. So everybody go make your mixtape. Make your baseball mixtape.
And send them to us. Like, please tweet them at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4cast so we can watch them and share them, because this sounds really fun. Jess, would you search anything? Do you have any feelings about this?
I mean, I would just search random things, but if you make me a playlist, I want it in my locker with a weird, on a CD with like a weird title saying, Jessica, I never should have let you go during the second period.
Oh, man.
And something like that.
That would be great for like bobbled catches that were dropped, and then Jessica, I never should have let you go.
Can you search facial expressions? Like, could I be like every time the camera caught Joey Votto looking contemplative? Because that would be my mixtape to you, Jess. I would make that for you so that you could look at Joey
Votto. Love that. I would cry and laugh and laugh and cry.
No, we got to talk to the StatCast people, see if they can start, you know, just facial mapping. Like, this is Joey Votto happy. This is Joey Votto sad when the camera catches that.
Upon a time, right when StatCast is becoming more widely used, Mike and I wrote a post about weird things that you could StatCast if you want to do a deep dive in the Cut4 archives and find it. That was something. We did that. You also had some existential dread in there, you know.
Well, you know, got to stay on brand. So,
Jess, what are you thankful for?
Well, I'm not thankful for Carlos Correa's proposal anymore. I was at first, but then I swear it's now people are thinking they can do it more. It's becoming way more popular, so I'm just going to get that out of the way. I went from being thankful for it because it was totes adorable, and, you know, I hate public ballpark proposals, but now I absolutely hate it because I swear the moment that happened, people were like, oh, well, Carlos Correa can do it. Carlos Correa is not you. You are not Carlos Correa. Stop. Stop it.
I really thought it was going to be the other way around, that it would raise the bar so much that you would be like, oh, if I haven't just won a major title, maybe I shouldn't do this.
And then people just grew cojones all of a sudden and just did it, and it's dumb. But anyways, but the one thing I genuinely am thankful for, and I've talked about this on the Cut4cast before, is how open players are with their communication and talking about, you know, their issues and their problems. Like we mentioned, like during the trade deadline, Dallas Keuchel was genuinely upset that nothing happened for the Astros. It ultimately turned out okay in the end. But to actually see him not fake it in front of the media was great. Or to have Bryce Harper open up about the All-Star counts and how he thinks it should go down. Because sometimes we tend to forget these players are humans and we look at them as a number, or how are they going to affect my fantasy team when they don't care? You can ask them on Twitter. They literally don't care. They went 0-4 for your team. They promise you they don't. So it just kind of, you know, that scenario. I like how they're opening up on social media and, you know, wanting to help the communities and stuff and being more vocal about things. You know, Trevor Williams is opening up like crazy on social media, and that's great. So kind of like that aspect, something I'm definitely thankful for from a content perspective, fans perspective, obviously, and all of that. So it's definitely something that I'm looking forward to heading into the next season.
Yeah, I think it's been really great to just learn more about these guys who we know so much about from sort of a mathematical or statistical perspective. Just be like, oh, also, these are the movies that you like, and this is what you do when you're not playing baseball, and then you have a really bizarre and surreal sense of humor, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
It is very rude, though, that they don't care about my fantasy. I
know, and I'm working on that, Claire. I'm working on that. Like, I know you don't care about everybody else's fantasy team, but care about Claire's fantasy team. And I'm like, come on.
Well, because Claire, you don't really care if your fantasy team wins.
No.
You just want fun, cool people on it.
That's true. So the thing is, I do a couple fantasy leagues, but the one I really care about is for utility players and pitchers, relief pitchers only. Mm-hmm. They can't be closers. So it's like, come on, man. I really needed you to lay down a sacrifice bunt. I know it was 10-run game in the bottom of the fifth, but we count sacrifice bunts in this league.
I just want you to imagine now hanging out with Claire at a Thanksgiving dinner where he's just talking to you about his Baseball Savant searches and his relievers and utility players league only, which is actually great, and I would invite him to mine, but
So
in a heartbeat, so much better than what we actually talk about at Thanksgiving. Go for it. Yeah,
so true.
So Gemma, you hosted a Thanksgiving.
I did host a Thanksgiving. I cooked a lot of food. I did not make Cornish game hens this year. I made turkey legs wrapped in bacon.
Oh wow!
Yes, and a lot of other food. I made a lot of other food.
Now, did you go around the table and say what baseball things you were thankful for then, or were you saving it for this?
I was saving it for this because you are my baseball family.
Oh, thank
you. The two of you, and also listeners, you are my baseball.
Well,
family.
You didn't bring dinner though.
So yeah. I did not. I have some green tea pocky if anybody wants them.
I have a mixtape coming. I'm feeling good.
I will say what I'm thankful for now, which one thing I'm going to give a shout out to Cut 4 cast co-host Dakota Gardner's brother, Jonah, who recently returned from a trip to Japan, and he got me a Chihiro Kaneko keychain. So I'm very thankful for that.
Oh,
I know I make fun of Dakota a lot for not giving me things.
Yeah.
But the other Gardner family members are very generous.
But his brother gave me a Chihiro Kaneko keychain. Chihiro Kaneko is a pitcher for the Oryx Buffaloes, and obviously we share a last name, which is very cool because now I can have the little shirt with my last name on it, but it's not personalized, which would be lame, you know? So that's exciting. And I'm also thankful this offseason for the deep dive that everyone is doing into Shohei Ohtani's entire baseball career. It's like, he's so young, so instead of being like, wow, look at this crazy video from when he was 19, because that was like 5 minutes ago, they're like, look at this video of him pitching in middle school. Like, who is out here, like, scouting like 11-year-olds pitching games? I mean, I know it happens. I do know it happens. But the fact that we now get to see it because everyone is so invested is really fun. And he lives in a time, he's like coming up in this time where this video exists, as opposed to like, we were talking about Jamie Moyer the other day. It's like, you cannot watch that. You cannot watch anyone that age pitch a Little League game. It's not happening.
The scariest thing about that middle school video isn't just that there were cameras there. It's that it was so recent, they are very good cameras.
Yes!
Like, when I expect to see middle school video, I want Super 8 footage that clearly, like, the dad was, like, hand cranking, like, film to go through it. And instead, you watch this video and you're like, oh, what was this? Like, you know, broadcast on ESPN last week. Like, it's a very crisp video of it happening.
Yeah. Well, it's fun also because we're learning so much about him and all the other things he's been doing. And you can look at that on cut4.com. Shoheiohtani.com now, basically.
Yeah. We basically just want to see, like, pictures of his sonogram and probably throwing, like, a perfect game while he's still in the womb. Yeah. Then I'll be like, okay, I knew he's for real, but then I'm like, I am actually impressed. Yeah. Okay, all right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that. You're right. That's very good. All right, so we've all said what we're thankful for, and now it's time to talk about some current events. You always want to talk about current events, right? This isn't that current. It's about the mayoral election in New York City, which was early November. Bill de Blasio, noted Red Sox fan, won. But do you know who got 10 write-in votes? Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge got 10 write-in votes. I think that a while ago, David Ortiz came in third for mayor in Boston. He got so many that he was actually like the third person, which is incredible. But Aaron Judge, you know, he's new. He's working up to it.
Right.
He's working up to it. So what I want to know is what baseball player would you two vote for mayor of your town or city? Or, you know, just you can make up a conceptual town or city. It's fine. Jess?
Oh, God, I hope nobody becomes the mayor of Reno or Nevada or anything. Like, good God. But, I mean, if I moved to a nice town, and I would probably obviously elect Joey Votto, because I just feel like you can't argue with him about anything. And he's such a pro. I just love him as an athlete because of the fact where he's just different from your stereotypical just human being. You know, you're used to certain types of interviews with athletes, and he just kind of takes it above and beyond, even though he gets a little quirky, a little weird. And even those words I don't like to describe Joey Votto. I feel like the best term to describe Joey Votto is simply Joey Votto. And I feel like last season we got to see, you know, all of his personalities from, you know, him throwing foul balls and pretending to throw foul balls into the crowd, and, you know, being there for Super Bubs and his family during, you know, his funeral and everything like that. We got to see all the different emotions. And then when he accepted the best fan moment, fan interaction moment, just cool to see him open up. And I feel like he could just solve world hunger. I feel like he could stop floods. I feel like he could literally make everything go away and make it fun in the process. And he's super, I know, you know, actually literally can't, because Gemma and I have talked about this. What do we say prior to coming on? I don't know if it sounds prior to the podcast.
Yes, there you go.
But yeah. And I know he can't actually do it because he's Canadian, but I mean, wishful thinking type of thing. And David Ortiz would be pretty cool too, but I definitely love Joey Votto.
He could be mayor of a town or governor. Like, I'm from Michigan. Jennifer Granholm, she's Canadian. She's a Michigan governor. So.
I know nothing about politics. There we go.
I thought you were going to say, I'm from Michigan, so I can't run.
No,
but if you're from Canada.
He couldn't be president, but he could be like the mayor of a place. We should just found our own town so that Joey Votto can be mayor.
Exactly.
We'll elect him in absentia and just be like, he's the mayor.
Is Cooperstown, New York, do they just elect baseball players to, like, mayoral?
That's a good question.
Like, that
have
would
a
be
real
a,
mayor?
Yeah. It's a small little town.
Well, who would you elect?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I think the Joey Votto one's great because I also think Joey Votto does not care about your opinion on him.
Mm-hmm.
So he would be a one-term mayor. No matter how successful he was,
right,
he would enact policies that he thought would be best, regardless of, like, what the voters thought. So unfortunately, it'd be like one great term, and then it's like, Joey Votto, get out of here. He's walking too much. Because obviously he would take a daily walk around the governor's quarters.
Trolling.
So I think, you know, if I had to vote, Votto's a good one. I was thinking maybe Andrew McCutcheon.
I had Kutch on my shortlist too.
Yeah. The one I lean towards, and obviously we would need a campaign process. Mm-hmm. I would want to see them in debates. I would, you know, just a long-term, I'm thinking Brandon McCarthy. He's got a very good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I don't know his policies, but I think we would align on things like batters have to bunt more often.
This is just for, like, mayor of baseball.
This is just, mayor of Baseball Town USA.
Yeah, Baseball Town USA. I like that.
Which is
just
for, you know, baseball regulation. So, I feel like out of a lot of baseball players, he has a sort of even-keeled approach to things. So, yeah, if I was going to vote for my mayor of Baseball Town, and I'd probably go Brandon McCarthy. I did think Zach Greinke as a sort of, like, policy wonk type guy, but I thought, you know, maybe he's just better at, like, blogging about the baseball policies, like at whatever the Hill would be. And then
the Mound.
Yeah, the mound.com, and Brandon McCarthy would actually be in charge.
I like this. I also like our fictional construction of Baseball Town USA for this thought exercise, because Joey Votto could be the first mayor, and then, like you said, he'd be like, I've done what I'm doing. I'm gonna go play with donkeys now.
Whatever I want to do.
Side note, I cannot wait for the Joey Votto off-season interviews to begin because they're always so good and so delightful.
We've already gotten one where, and this was great because I couldn't tell, because when he was on the shortlist for the MVP, so this was before the awards were announced, he was like, the BBWAA writers this year are just, like, so smart. Like, I think they're really getting it, like, what I do now. And so it was half just like, oh man, here's a guy, is he, like, brown nosing the writers, but it was also half just like tweedling. I don't know,
like tweedling,
like just like sticking the knife in the older writers that wouldn't have voted for him for MVP. So yeah, we've got one in the can, and whenever the next one comes,
they're always just
just
incredible.
He's a quote machine.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
So you had Kutch, Jim, on your short list. So
I made a longer list.
Yeah.
Well, my first thought was like, okay, if I'm thinking of people who could be mayor of Detroit, obviously the top two candidates would be Justin Verlander and Pudge Rodriguez. But
right, of course.
Both are more going to be like, it's all Texas for them now, which is whatever, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. Right.
But everyone loves them. They're very beloved. So it's like they could both easily win, I think. Not be hard. But then I liked this idea of making up this place where we could all live, just think about baseball all the time. And I decided Curtis Granderson.
Oh, I like that.
The mayor.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, just he's when I picture this town, I'm picturing it like, you know, those children's TV shows where for some reason the mayor is always around and just like giving the kids quests or whatever. Like, that is Curtis Granderson, to be just friendly.
Right.
He's just a good leader. He's just talking to people. He's making them feel better about themselves. Like, just running a town. And it's a Baseball Town USA, so I guess there are like subways and trains that go to all the different baseball fields where everyone is.
So this is a very large town. Baseball Town isn't, you can't walk to the fields because There's so many.
It's baseball town. Like, there's so many baseball fields.
So
big, and people need to go to them. They have to. Some of them they have to be, you know, capacity, like huge.
Okay, so Curtis Granderson's your mayor. Who's your head of transportation?
We need a city planner. We need like a full sort of complement of staffers for him.
So really, the mayor's the figurehead. What we need to figure out is which baseball players are going to run the day-to-day services. Yeah. Who lives in this town?
We live there, the three of us.
Yeah, well, I like how we all hate our, well, me and Jenna hate, like, where we're from, pretty much. And we're just like, let's just live in a new town.
Yeah, I like Detroit, but whenever I say that, I'm like, I also live in New York now, so there are some choices I've
right.
made.
Right.
I miss Reno when I'm not here. Let's go with that.
I'm sure there is a Major League Baseball player who has, like, a train enthusiasm. I'm sure that there is one.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to need to know. If you know, please let us know, and then we will discuss it on the next Cut Forecast. Well, I'm glad we've invented this town. You're all invited to live there, too. Maybe these next people that we're going to talk about are going to want to live there, maybe part-time, you know, just when they feel like it.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant and Bryce Harper went to a Golden Knights game. It's the new NHL team, because they're both from Nevada. Las Vegas area.
Yep.
And they went to the game and they're friends and they played Little League together and it was really great. They do this, they kind of hang out like every offseason in some kind of public fun way, which I enjoy.
It's very strange because who still is hanging out with like the kids you knew when you were 10? Like, who
That's
does that?
True.
Those are the people like That's you true. Avoid. Those are the people that the night before Thanksgiving when you're in your hometown, you see them at the bar and you're like, I got to get out of here. This scene just got weird.
A bunch of my really good friends today I've been friends with since I was at least 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Then I'm just a bad person.
No,
so
I just,
sorry.
I don't know. I totally get that. Like a lot of kids I knew when I was 10, but like my best friend and I have been friends since we were 3 years old. Hi, Kelly. She doesn't
listen
to this. She doesn't like sports.
So, you know, really you got to evaluate that friendship now,
But they're obviously great friends and it's really fun and adorable. Who are some of your other best friend duos in MLB that you like? Who are your favorites, Mike?
That's a tough one because in a way they're all our friends because we invite them into our homes 162, actually 180 times a regular season. So in a way, over 750 baseball players are all best friends to me. So for this one though, I struggled because, you know, there's some great duos. Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa, even during the postseason, mm-hmm. they had an interview, mm-hmm. and they said, we're best friends, and that's great. Francisco Lindor and literally anyone on Cleveland.
Oh, yes.
All best friends.
He's our friend. He's our best friend.
Yeah.
Honestly.
The one, though, I went with Phil Hughes and the Twins. Now, you didn't see a lot of this last year because, you know, Phil, Mr. Hughes, excellent Twitter.
Not your friend. So
not my
Mr.
friend. I have to call him Mr. I'm still going to act like a child. Mr. Hughes, can I have your autograph? Because he didn't play that, we didn't see that much this year. But he, like, would host Bachelor Nights.
Yeah.
And he would have all the Twins over to the house. And, you know, a couple years ago, the Twins had dance parties. So I think as long as Phil Hughes is at the center, he kind of creates friendship groups. So it might not be a duo per se, but he is someone who makes sure that everyone feels so welcome around him. And also tweets at A-Rod. So maybe it's Phil Hughes and A-Rod is really my answer. You know what? That's my answer. Phil Hughes and A-Rod.
Bayrod, as Phil Hughes would call him.
Bayrod.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So my final answer, Gemma, is Bayrod.
This is a good final answer. I will award you 500 points.
Thank you.
You are now winning the Cup Forecast because this is a game.
Yeah.
Jess, who's your favorite duo?
Obviously, I love Jose Altuve. I literally love Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa. But, I think he's kind of like a Lindor, too, where I feel like he'll be best friends with literally everyone, and I think that's kind of great. But my number one BFF, for sure, is Elvis Andrews and Adrian Beltre. And I feel like if you're the type of person to have the guts to walk up to Elvis Andrews, or sorry, Adrian Beltre and just touch his head like it's nothing, like, that takes a lot of guts. And he just laughs about it. He just thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. And you know, obviously, between the both of them, they have, like, a great personality. They play together, and they're just great. And just to see them interact with one another and give each other so much crap is just so much fun to watch, especially on that team. It's just great. And then their age difference is funny, too. Like, they're playing off of each other, and it's, like, the mother or the father and the son kind of thing. My favorite BFF over the 2017 season, probably Yasiel Puig and his bat. But I think they're actually
Yeah.
So
that was a
really
serious
know.
Relationship.
That's not BFF. That's that's deeper.
That's soulmate level connection there.
Yeah, I felt like I was like, Mom, should I be watching this right now? I feel like it's really me. This is like late night showtime stuff right now. Like, it's pretty intense.
What I like about the Elvis Andrews, Adrian Beltre lunch, which beyond I take back my answer, I think you're correct, is it feels sort of like a Greek test. Like, you have to enter the Rangers clubhouse, enter the field, and then reach for Beltre's head. And if you are pure of heart, you guys become mm-hmm. friends. But he can sense if you're doing this for like an ulterior motive. And if that's the case, then you get the comeuppance of like forever being cast out and exiled from the land of Beltre.
You can stop there.
Exactly.
Stop there.
So it feels very much like a grand test to become Beltre's friend.
I think you're right. I think that is probably what has happened. That
right.
is true, because many, many have tried and many have failed.
Right.
And Andrews is just that he's there for him.
He's succeeded. He's in that inner land.
We're going to talk a little bit more about Elvis Andrews in a little bit. They were on my list too, because who cannot love them? And just like Correa and Altuve, like one of my favorite moments from this year is when Altuve wore that jacket on the All-Star red carpet walk. And it, like, to me clearly had Pitbull on it and like another guy, like maybe DJing. But he was like, no, this represents me and Carlos. Like, it's me and my friend.
Oh, it's Mr. Worldwide. So.
And that's what he was like. He like was just like, yep, that's us. Some other person made a jacket with us on it. Like, didn't even relate it to the person that it really was. And I thought that's real friendship.
That is.
It was really, really cute. I think that Andrews and Beltre is correct, but I had some other like runner-ups, people who I think are becoming better friends. Uh-huh. Like Yasiel Puig and Justin Turner seem to get along really well this season. Mm-hmm. And that's really fun, because I miss the days when Puig was just hugging everyone all the time. Like,
right.
I used to, the back of my phone used to be him and Hyunjin Ryu like cuddling in the dugout, because it was so cute. So I'm glad that he has friends other than his bat in the Dodgers clubhouse that he can goof off with. And I hope that D. Gordon and Justin Bour are actually like really good friends. Like, I hope that in real life they are actually friends.
Yeah, I think that they are. I feel like Bour gets along with pretty much everyone. I just have that feeling about him. Yeah.
What if they're not, though, and D was just like, you stretched out my pants, man. The clubhouse guy said if I ruined another pair of pants, I'd have to pay for the next ones. Like, what if that's the relationship?
It's a roommate comedy.
Right.
It's like a sitcom where they just get into all kinds of low-stakes situations together.
I like that. I like that a lot. I want you to run this idea up the chain.
Yes.
This is the show where we pitch TV shows to networks for free, and they never take us up on any of our ideas. Fine.
It's terrible.
Ken Tremendous, I know you're around. You could listen to
that's
this
true.
And make our shows.
Yeah. How dare you?
Anyway,
let's talk
about Elvis Andrews some more, because he got married.
He
got married. Mm-hmm. Looked really crazy. Seems like everyone's kind of getting married. Encarnacion got married. At the very beginning of October, Sean Doolittle and Aaron Dolan eloped. Like, everyone's
that's right.
getting married. Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. Let's pivot to Justin Verlander, of course.
Of course.
On the Cup Forecast, they got married. Everyone's getting married. What so far have you thought were the most fun weddings? Which ones do you wish you had been invited to? Are there any you care about coming up that you know, Jess?
Well, I think the Kate Upton wedding would have been cool, just because I feel like there's a lot of chaos. They were talking about it on one of the billions of shows they went on after they got married, and they were basically saying, like, people were at their wedding venue while they were still in the World Series. So they would basically be, like, FaceTiming their guests, saying, like, hey, how's our wedding going? We'll be there soon. And I feel like if that was the case, it's probably just a bunch of, like, booze flowing and food going. And they're just, like, just make sure that they're just taken care of before we get there and stuff, which would have been cool. And Kate Upton looked breathtaking at her wedding in Italy, which is the perfect setting. But I would have loved to go to Edwin's wedding. And he married, an actress who was just gorgeous, like this bright red hair, and just worked it. And she had two different dresses, mm-hmm. and Lindor was there in like his floral shirt, and it just like such a dream wedding. And pretty much anything you can imagine, like on your most obnoxious Pinterest wedding board, all of these things happened. So like, who knows what else went down? But We also kind of made the joke in Cut 4 Slack that we were pretty sure that Lindor did the second look just like the bride did, where he probably changed. For, I don't think he actually did that, but after some research, because we made sure Jake Mintz was on that. But it just looked like such a breathtaking wedding, and it looked like fun. And to be able to have, you know, I think Pujols was there, wasn't he? And so was Ortiz, I believe. Weren't they both there? And so that's just awesome to do. So, I mean, I would have loved to go to anything. I'm just going to randomly show up to Mike Trout's wedding. I'm just going to act like I was invited.
That's the upcoming one that everyone's excited for. Jose Bautista got married, too, this offseason, I think.
God, everybody is getting married.
Yeah.
It's that time.
Lord. It's like, no, don't even look at Facebook. Just look at, you know, Cut 4. Like, we'll have all the wedding announcements for you.
Oh, my God. It's too much.
You know who else got married this year? Michael Clare.
Michael Clare.
Congrats to you.
Well, thank you so much.
Emma and I did not get married.
We definitely did not. The Cut 4 Gemma's official position on marriage again is that marriage is a tool of patriarchy. So.
Yes.
Yikes. Ooh. But a very good point. which is why, having gone through it, The one that looked, I mean, they all looked amazing. Whoever they hired or whoever picked things out looked amazing. That's why I really have to give points to Sean Doolittle, because planning a wedding is a nightmare and the worst thing in the world. And I can only imagine when you work and live with people 180 days in a row, like when you have to invite your teammates and you decide which teammates aren't invited, that has to be the most stressful decision you ever make. So that's the wedding I would want to quote unquote be at, because it's like, this is just going to be real chill. I don't have to get too dressed up. We're, you know, afterwards, maybe we'll grab omelets. I don't know if they probably had something more delicious. Well, there's nothing more delicious than omelets, but you know, supposedly better than omelets. But Edwin Encarnacion, I think, was my favorite because not only did his bride and wife have this bright red hair, but it very much looked like they had like seaweed hanging from the ceiling. It seemed almost like they were cosplaying the Little Mermaid, and I was very, very into this. And I was like, oh, so she just got like her human legs. I don't remember the plot of the movie. I think it ends.
That does happen.
They get married and she gets human legs. Okay.
Yeah.
So to me, looking at the photos, I'm like, she just got her human legs. Like, oh, if I attended, I'll be Flounder. Like, I don't know if the guests were told to, like, take characters, or maybe the wedding party. One was the crab man. Crab man?
The way you say crab man makes it seem like he was half crab, half man.
Well, he sang. How many crabs do you know that sing?
Which is way scarier.
Michael Clare just rewrote The Little Mermaid. He just rewrote the whole movie.
Maybe you just can't understand the songs the crabs are singing, Claire.
Well, that's true. I can't hear. I mean, they're very percussive, but in terms of the lyrical content, and then maybe one of the dads was shirtless and had a trident, like the very strong dad. Question, do you think the dad in Little Mermaid, the trident man,
trident man? King Trident.
Trident man.
Do you think he's stronger or Marcus Stroman's dad's stronger?
What a good question.
Yeah, who's stronger?
Oh,
Marcus,
man.
I feel like Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
His dad.
I feel like he could like cut the trident in half and take on the trident man.
Because Marcus Stroman's dad is the strongest man I've ever
seen. Well, this is the thing. Stroman's dad is extremely jacked. Like, it's really out of control. Yeah. And
looks like a trash bag stuffed with meat. Like, that's what he looks
like. But, like, top grade meat that is just like, that meat is, if you guys have seen the film version of John Dies at the End, there is an attacking meat monster. And just like all muscle and prime rib.
I can't handle this. I think that the reason that Stroh's dad would win in a contest of strength is because if you have to lift things, you need to lift from your legs. And he has legs. Right. And you know who doesn't? Yeah. King Trident.
Now, could King Trident get married and get legs before the fight to even things up?
You have to go to Ursula the Sea Witch to get legs, and then you'd have to sacrifice something of
it's
himself.
Such a process,
oh, that was.
You thought getting married was rough? Try going from a mermaid to a human, okay? Suck it up, Claire.
That's why marriage is a tool of the patriarchy, because you hold legs until you're married.
That's true. As, you know, most weddings you do, you give something blue, something red. I gave human legs to my wife, to my fish wife.
Claire has invented the most terrifying version of The Little Mermaid. It involves a half crab, half man singing weird clicking noises at the wedding, a detached pair of human legs. I can't handle this. Don't invite Claire to your wedding.
Is that a Hans Christian Andersen story originally?
Yeah.
And Disney updated it. So yeah. I'm just going back to the source material. So sorry to upset, you know, the Disney crowd.
Oh, amazing. These all seem great. Elvis Andrus's wedding looked really good because Prince Fielder was there and was dancing, and I bet he's great person to just dance with. I bet he has a really good time. Mm-hmm. We were looking at some of the photos earlier, and we noticed that maybe he had pyrotechnics at his wedding.
Yes, it looks like fireworks going on.
It looked like, we were like, oh, some of those might be just like lighting effects, but it really did look like at least there was fire shooting out of the ground.
Yeah.
So I would like to have witnessed that firsthand because how cool.
Yeah.
I love pyrotechnics. I'm a big sucker for those. So, though I was like, wow, it's impressive to wear everyone wearing all the dresses that they were wearing, which looked flammable and a little frightening. But that seems really cool. Also, I have a dark horse wedding choice, which is that you may or may not have seen on our website recently on cut4.com some video of Prince Harry taking some hacks up in Harlem.
That's right.
So I now think that the royal wedding is a baseball wedding that should be invited to. We should all be invited to the royal wedding. Yeah. Prince Harry marrying an American actress, Meghan Markle. Very cool. So invite us to the wedding, and we will all show up in Little Mermaid cosplay, and it'll be really not acceptable at all, but we're going to do it.
I'm going as the crab then, so...
I thought you were going to be Flounder.
Now I want to be Crabman.
That was all ridiculous, and I will never get over that image for the rest of my entire life. But the time has come. The time has come to summarize this episode of the Cut Forecast in a single tweet, 140 characters, preferred, though I guess you can go up to 280. Permission has been granted by me. Claire, since you are back on the East Coast and you're filling in for Dakota, and I never get to make Dakota go first, sorry, you have to go first.
Jeez, that sounds like I should get to go second, but okay. Let's see. Dear baseball players getting married... Give King Triton his legs so he can fight Marcus Stroman's dad. Hashtag cut forecast. Hashtag Crabman.
I'm going to retweet this as many times as I'm allowed to. Also, I like how you're saying it Crabman like it's someone's last name.
Yeah. Davy Crabman, when he gets his legs. And the Crabman when he marries gets legs, but he doesn't lose his crab legs.
Can you please write a baseball comic book about a guy who is a Crabman and gets legs so that he can play baseball?
I like that idea a lot. You'll see that soon on MLB.com's Cut 4.
All right, Jess, what is your tweet, and will it rescue us from the body horror that Claire has inflicted upon us?
I literally can't top that, but I'm going to try. So, the seaweed is not always greener in somebody else's lake, but when you dream about going up there, there better be a great wedding and good cake. Claire, you and Gemma are invited to my wedding as long as Gemma pivots to Verlander during her speech. I went way over, but thankfully there's 280 characters.
That was so good.
Wow.
Our jaws are both dropped. We're both like stunned in awe by how good that tweet was.
That's why they made 280 characters, Jess, to drop poetry like that.
Wow. Wow. There is no way on earth that I'm ever going to be able to top that. I don't even know if I'm going to try. I guess what I'll say is vote for the best friends in baseball to be the mayor of Baseball Town USA, Adrian Beltre, and Elvis Andrus. Hashtag cut forecast. Very simple.
I like that. But listen, it's get out the vote. You had a civic duty to fulfill.
Right.
And you did it. So when is the Baseball Town election? Is it at the end of the World Series? Is it opening day? Is it when spring training starts? Is it a different schedule or is it just November?
I feel like it should still be November, actually, because then it's the offseason, so you have time to like vote, whatever. But inauguration day should be opening day.
So the whole season is the campaign. The players are campaigning to be the mayor of Baseball Town. I like that.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll start tracking this year and our own personal choices of who has done enough to garner our vote for mayor of Baseball Town USA. Surprise, it's going to be Joey Votto every year.
Yeah, no matter what.
That's how it's going to go. Before we sign off today, I just want to remind everyone that we have an email address, cut4cast@mlb.com, and you can email us anything you want. You can email us your weird theories about who would fight which fictional character and when. You can tell us your own garbled recollections of your childhood favorite movies starring baseball fans. You can pick your mayor of Baseball Town USA. We did get an email last week, which we did not read because we didn't have an episode, but I want to read it to you. It is from Frank A. Vandeput, and the subject line is Hawk Harrelson alarm.
Perfect subject line.
Hey, Gemma, Dakota, and the rest of the Cut 4 Cast team. After listening to the StatCast podcast for a while, they referred me here, and I've been binging your 2017 episodes. Thanks for all the entertainment. I travel a lot, and you guys keep me awake and sane. Thank you so much for listening, Frank. We really appreciate it. Please keep listening. But there's more. There's more.
Oh, my God.
I'm writing you because on your Thanksgiving episode, you mentioned that, among other things, to keep baseball fans sane during the offseason, the Hawk Harrelson alarm clock is a great way to wake up to baseball every morning. I'm not from Chicago, but I love listening to Hawk Harrelson.
Yes.
I couldn't attend the giveaway game, but I made do with a self-made baseball alarm.
Oh, my God.
I accessed a small audio piece from a game that Harrelson called. I cut the audio and made myself my own Hawk Harrelson alarm. I wake up to it every morning, and I just thought that I'd share. It wasn't too difficult to make, and it keeps me in the baseball mindset every morning. Happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for your time, Frank. Thank you, Frank. Thank you for your time.
Did he send a video?
That was wonderful.
He sent a little bit of audio, and I will try to get that out for you.
Oh, that's so cool.
He made his own alarm. This is so dedication to waking up to baseball every morning, and I cannot say that's incredible.
Frank, if you ever want to hang out, I want to hang out. So
yeah,
oh.
It got me.
That's awesome.
So much fun. So if you have stories of your alarm clocks homemade or otherwise, just send them to us because we want to hear them. And Frank, keep in touch because please make more cool things like that so we can all remember how to keep baseball in our lives every day.
It's like a baseball Q. Is that the James Bond
yeah.
guy who makes the... Yeah, base... Oh, Frank. Wow. I am... That's so cool. Oh, man. I'm jealous. That's awesome.
So, reminder, this is a podcast, so you should subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get your podcast from. Tell all your friends about it. Tell them about the Hawk Harrelson alarm clock. And please rate it and review it. It helps other people find the podcast and listen to the show. Email us again. That's cut4cast@mlb.com. You can read all of our weird posts at mlb.com/cut4. Mike, thanks so much for coming to the studio and hanging out today.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much for letting me be in here and forget to use the cool cough button. It's a thing. I found it. I never used it.
Wow. Peeking behind the curtain a little bit. We'll
have
you back soon, though. And Jess, thank you, as always, for calling in.
Oh, thanks for having me. I had such a blast, you guys.
Everyone invite Jess to your baseball weddings. If you don't, we'll set the crab men on you.
Yes.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.